Chapter 41. Monday. End. When the asteroid strike likelihood index was solely mathematically derived, there was a 73% chance that HR-6984 would strike the Earth. Once the letters of destiny were received in 2004 from the now-defunct ChronoGuard, the likelihood dropped to 1.3%, where it has remained ever since. Of the 16 ex-ChronoGuard listed in the summaries, 7 survived beyond 2041, some by as much as 26 years. Dr. A. Chowdhury, Asteroid Collision Risk Calculation. So there we were, my husband, Landon, and I, sitting in the comfort of a Skyrail car, gliding effortlessly above the North Wessex countryside, heading back from Swindon. We'd just listened to the judge remand Friday into custody. Irrespective of his previous good character and his family's high standing in the community, our lawyer had suggested he might do 2 years if we could plea the charge down to accidental wounding from grievous bodily harm, plus another 6 years for firearms offences. He'd be out in 3 with good behaviour. It might have been worse. Any gunshot wound is potentially fatal, and if Gavin had died, Friday could have been in for life. He'd take the plea and do the time. After all, 3 years in the pokey was exactly as Friday's letter of destiny had predicted. So that's pretty much how it all turned out. A week that began with Landon and me taking a trip into Swindon and ended with a pillar of fire cleansing the world of an evil it could well do without, and my daughter Tuesday with a husband and soulmate and the knowledge they would both live a long and eventful life and have 3 kids. We also knew from his summary that Gavin remained constant and true despite his tiresomely vulgar demeanour. We'd probably get to like him, in our own way, so long as we never invited him to dinner with other people present. Or if we did, we'd make sure they were fully briefed and supplied with earplugs.
"I still don't know why he came to shoot the other Gavin by mistake," said Landon, "or even how he knew there was another Gavin."
"Friday doesn't know either. A moment of inexplicable madness. So let's just move on." My cell phone rang. It was John Duffy. He spoke a few words and I thanked him and snapped the cell phone shut. "News from the hospital. Gavin in Lidington lost his leg above the knee. The bullet did too much damage as it passed through for him to keep it."
"Poor bastard," said Landon. "Do I have to start this foundation for people with missing limbs? I've never really had a problem losing mine."
"Yes," I said sarcastically, "you never complained, not once. One-legged Gavin will run it when he's well enough. His letter of destiny says so."
"I'm glad someone found a function out of this fiasco."
"Friday will find his," I said, laying my hand on Landon's. "He'll just not be able to start looking for another 2 years."
"I have the oddest feeling he might already have done so," said Landon. "Something about all those letters of destiny just doesn't ring true. If you could send your younger self a message revealing how it would all turn out, would you?"
"Not in a million years."
"No," said Landon, "neither would I. But I have an idea that the shadowy potential future Friday might still have some surprises in store for us. Kind of looking after his younger self, you know?"
"I hope you're right." The Skyrail car sped over the M4 as it headed toward Oldbourne and home. I took a deep breath. "Landon?"
"Yes?"
"Would you be really annoyed if I did some exploration in my spare time?"
"What, like in Tierra del Fuego? Someone said there might be an undiscovered continent somewhere around the theoretical South Pole."
"No, somewhere further, deeper, into things lost and forgotten."
"You want to take the last day player into the dark reading matter, don't you?"
"The DRM is in trouble. God only knows what Goliath is up to in there. And besides, I need to get Pickwick back." The absence of our pet Dodo had confused us until Tuesday's encephalovision started to send back images of giant marshmallows and more scenes from the Dukes of Hazzard, interspersed with the best pictures we'd seen so far of the dark reading matter. Pickwick went across the night before the shooting. The Winco put forward the theory that an imaginary childhood friend might have moved across about that time and taken Pickwick with her. We questioned the Winco closely, as he seemed to know something we didn't. But if he knew anything, he wasn't being very forthcoming. "The DRM is the new frontier," I said. "When you're talking human imagination, there are really no limits. I'll take the last day player and be back in 24 hours.
"Well," he replied, "you'll probably need a flashlight and a length of rope, but I won't bother with a packed lunch."
We sat in silence for a while until the Skyrail car passed Oldbourne's church and the yew tree with the warm sunny spot beneath it, and a memorial stone. "Do you ever think of Jenny?" I asked, staring out the window.
"All the time."
"Me too."